Hello, ladies. I'm here to tell you about HelloGiggles.com. Founded by actress-musician Zoe Deschanel, producer Sophia Rossi, and blogger-web personality Molly McAleer, HelloGiggles.com is the ultimate entertainment destination for smart, independent, and creative females. Everything hosted on the site will be lady-friendly, so visitors need not worry about finding the standard boys' club content that makes many entertainment sites unappealing to so many of us. So many of us ladies. You hear that, ladies? I'm one of you. I'm a lady. Go to HelloGiggles.com. Let's get down. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello! It's Thanksgiving week. Gobble, gobble, people. Happy Thanksgiving. I have a couple things I want to give thanks for this week because this is the show that comes out before Thanksgiving. I give thanks to you guys for listening. Thank you for listening to this show. I know that you have to actually do something to listen to it. You have to go out, download it, or put it on your iPod, or listen to it at work, or go to the site, and I appreciate your effort to listening to this show, and I wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. Wherever you are. And if you're in a country that does not celebrate Thanksgiving, happy Thursday. Anyway, thank you to you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you to the guests. Much like my guest today, my friend Wendy Colonna is here making her second appearance on the show. She was on about a year and a half ago, and she had put out a yoga DVD, and she had put out a record. Well, now she has just put out a record called Nectar, produced by my friend Mark Addison, and she's got the third Ham Jam record album coming out, which she does with my friend Shane Mott. Fabulous dude, fabulous dentist. Anyway, we have a great conversation, but before I get to that, let me tell you what's going on with me. What am I doing for Thanksgiving? I'm going home to see the family. Maybe when you're listening to this, you're on your way to go home and see the family. I don't know where you're going. Maybe you're driving. Maybe you're flying in a plane. Maybe you're sitting in an airport. Maybe you're stranded because it's frozen, and you're just sitting in an airport listening to this thing. Well, you know, to you, and to the people that are sitting there disenchanted at Thanksgiving, kind of putting their earbuds in and checking out from the family, I give you a virtual hug. Happy Thanksgiving. You know, family's crazy. My family is amazing and so great. I'm going to Houston to see my family. That's my mom's side of the family. And I'm very, very close to them. It's a very close, tight-knit family. Everyone's very amazing. But to get everyone together in a situation like that where you got to prepare all this food, I go to my cousin Eric's house and I will help them prepare for the meal by hanging out, sometimes just entertaining people while they do things, and then other times carrying things to different locations like a smoker to the back, a garbage can to the front, clear this off, put a tablecloth here. I do that kind of stuff. I'm in charge of that. Maybe doing some helping, you know, hey, what do you need here? Oh, ice and, you know, that. Okay, so I'll do that kind of stuff. So anyway, being with family is great, and even my family, that's incredible, is great, but going from 0 to 60, which is like this quiet little apartment, being zero, where I live by myself, and it's quiet, unless I want it to be loud, to like a loud environment, all your family, everyone's there, grandparents, babies, cousins. People want to know how are you doing, man? How are you doing? And it's intense. You happy? Yeah, I'm happy. Oh, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. It's amazing, but it's super intense. And you get like a assault to the senses. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm freaking out on love. So I'm lucky. I have a good family to go to. And while it is intense, as all families are, it's on the good side of intense, which is great for me. Those of you that are on the bad side of intense, I feel for you. I'm really sorry. I do have another side of my family that can be a little dark like that, make you feel bad about who you are and kind of scare you because you're scared like, oh my God, this is where I come from. What if I become one of these people? Holy shit. Anyway, crazy times. I hope that all of you are having a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Remember, Black Friday is Friday, and a lot of people are going to be going and checking out sales in weird places, and I don't ever do that. But this year, I talked about in the last couple of shows, what I'm doing is I'm going to local record stores and I'm buying music for family members that's in their wheelhouse, of music that they like, something that is in their taste range, but something they might have never heard. I'm turning them on to something new. I'm buying it in a local record store to help record stores stay alive. I found this cool little vinyl around Austin brochure that has a map and gives you the addresses of all the places that sell vinyl, which also probably sell CDs as well. For those of you that don't get into vinyl, but you can go there. You can get these albums that maybe they don't have at Target. Maybe they don't have at Best Buy. Maybe they don't have at Walmart. They don't carry that many albums there. You can get other stuff, help other musicians stay alive, keep your local economy going. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'd like you guys to let me know if you're doing that. Tweet it at me. I'm at Johnny Gowdy, or tag me in your Instagram. I'm also at Johnny Gowdy. When you're at a record store, tag yourself. Say, hey, I'm at my local record store. Tell me the name of it. I'll give you a shout out on here and shout out the record store. Today, I'm going to go to End of an Ear and also Antone's Records. I'll put up some pictures and you guys will see them, and that's what's going on. Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to End of an Ear. I'll probably go to Antone's Records over the weekend. And I'm going to Cactus Records when I'm in Houston, Cactus Music. Giving them some love. My friend Quinn reopened that store. It's an exciting story. Maybe I'll bring my, maybe I'll go talk to him too. Bring my phone or something. And should I record that? I think I should. Let's do that. Let's turn it into a project. Couple minutes with record store owners. Get out there. Support your local record store. Buy music. Okay? Go buy it.
Thank you.
All right, as I said earlier, my guest today, Wendy Colonna, is making her second appearance on the show. She was on about a year and a half ago, and since then, she's written and recorded an album called Nectar, toured all over the place, spent a lot of time away this summer in different places, secluded places, and she's got the Ham Jam album, which she is a producer of, with Mark Addison and my friend Shane Mott. They have a Ham Jam Christmas album that they put out that benefits the Health Alliance for Austin Musicians. And you can find that at myham, which is haam.org. Myham.org. They're having a celebration Wednesday, December 18th. It's a release show here in Austin. I don't quite know where it's going to be, but you can look it up there. Find out Ham Jam, okay? And also, anyway, Wendy came by. It was great to catch up with her, sit down. I always have a great time talking to her. I always feel a little bit more grounded after I talk to her. Seriously, she's a grounded person. She's a nice person. And I just love her to death. Here's my friend, singer-songwriter Wendy Colonna. Let's get down.
I can't seem to shake them dirty things. Why can't I?
Is this good?
Yep.
Okay. It had to be...
You know, it was 2012 because that's when you sent me the yoga DVD.
Yeah, and I mean... Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to get a time frame so we're not redundant.
No. No, there's no problem. We talked about your whole life last time, I think.
Okay, well.
I mean, but you've lived like a whole life since I've last seen
you.
I remember I did a show at a Strange Brew with you. Right?
Well, it would have been.
No, I did something. Something happened and you were there and I saw your band play.
Oh, yes. And
yeah.
We played
that's
and
right.
then you were after
and
us.
And then we played, yeah.
And,
okay.
and yeah, I think I tackled you.
Yeah. That's always good to see you. Well, it's good to see you. You have had a pretty busy... That's when I saw you last. And since then, you've even done a lot of stuff. You made a record.
Yeah.
And you put it out, and you went all over the country.
Yeah.
And where do we even start? Your new album is Nectar. I read that you did it with Mark Addison.
Yes.
Maybe you didn't do it with him, but you made the record with him. And I read in the papers that you've been doing it with Mark Addison. Oh, my God. What's going on?
Oh, my gosh.
I was reading that he told you he wanted to produce your Darko. You guys hadn't worked together before? You worked on the Ham Jam
stuff.
We
worked on the Ham Jam records together, okay. Yeah. So we, Mark did the production work. He's done all the production work for all the Holiday Ham albums that we've made. We're on the third one right now. And so we worked really closely with that. I've sung on a whole bunch of other projects that he's done.
And you've been around the scene, and he's a guy that, you know, is out at shows, people's shows.
Yeah, and you. I love his work. Over the last couple of years, we've just kind of had a running gag, like, oh, we're going to
make this album.
Let's make a dark record. Because I had a bunch of melancholy tunes that didn't really fit on the, you know, sort of...
I'm gonna have
melancholy tunes.
You know what I like is that this album sounds very different than anything you've done before.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
There still is a swampy feel.
Yeah,
in there that I like.
It's
about
still
you.
Swampy, but there's, you know, I'm not sticking to that paradigm, and I guess that's, you know, like it's not just glued to that exact paradigm. Like, I feel like there's tunes on it that are like certainly. Well, they're just riskier in some regards because they aren't like feel good, put your convertible top down. Well, you know, and then they're like cathartic and about dying and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which I think is great.
Well, you also, being from Louisiana, that's a place that knows how to celebrate someone's life.
Yeah.
And a parallel of mourning. You know what I mean? To do these things at the same time.
They certainly live hard.
Yeah.
Down south of I-10 where I grew up. I mean, there's a certain, you know, there is a certain, wow. I mean, folks down there, a lot of them just start drinking at 11. They have light beer all day long. They dance all night and they get up and do it again the next day. It's just like,
Do they work?
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They work hard. They play hard. Like there's a lot of really interesting things about Cajun culture, and not that you gotta drink and dance to, you know, to live fully. I mean, dancing probably is a good thing, but I mean, the booze isn't required, but there's a certain like joie de vivre, you know, that sort of permeates a lot of the culture around which I grew up.
Joy to live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Joy of life. That essence of just like, waking up and opening your eyes and going, woohoo, or in Louisiana, you know, it always amazes me. I go down there and people can just, they can dance all night long. And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just, people don't dance here in Austin. They just kind of stand there. They kind of maybe.
I don't know. They do in different places, I've noticed.
Yeah.
But they do stand there. I've seen some really bad dancing. I mean, I'm in Skyrocket, so I get exposed to a lot of like the worst dancing possible.
I mean, all dancing.
No offense to our fans.
All dancing is good dancing, but there is a relativity. But like,
well, I've always had that theory of like, dance like no one's watching, but don't do it in front of everyone.
But don't knock over other people while you're doing it. Have a little bit of understanding of where your space is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you went in and did this record. You had Rob Hooper. I'm doing this from memory because my printer, for some reason, it's dead.
Oh.
Do you know how to fix printers?
Me? I only know like really creepy people who, when they run out of ink, they just buy a new one because it's cheaper to do that, which is, I think, kind of creepy. So
I've had this for like 3 years.
Yeah, I'm into getting everybody's printers who run out of ink.
Okay, but I just put new ink.
And buying the new ink. But oh, I'm sorry, I don't know how to fix printers.
You had Rob Hooper. Dave
studio.
Madden.
Yeah.
Did Addison play anything?
Oh, yeah. Addison
of course
played
he did.
Lots of stuff. I mean, he played, oh gosh, he played all kinds of stuff. He played some banjo. He played some bouzouki. He played some organ. He played some piano. He played bass. He played electric guitar in some places. He played synth, sort of some really, really interesting little synth parts on Mother Forgive Us. And what else? I mean, gosh, he played. But he didn't play everything on everything. Like, it was just like, so we had a, so what we did was we cut, we had 8 tracks sort of ready to go. And Oh, he played pump organ on what? Oh, yeah, that's always nice. Great. Yeah, so yeah. Cool. But we did 8 tracks with Rob Hooper, Dave Madden, Billy.
Was Dave Madden playing keyboards?
Uh-huh, he was playing organ, keys, whirly, and piano. He played all of them on the record. There's a really cool story about that, too. So Dave, Rob, Michael Stevens on bass, and Billy Masters. And so we cut the basics for those 8 tracks, sort of like in a 3-day honeymoon feeling period. And we, Mark and I agreed to not let the guys hear the songs before going in. So that, you know, they had never all played together in an ensemble, and there was a lot of freshness.
Like an old school kind of.
Yeah, sort of everybody's on the edge of their seat, and everybody's playing with their ears.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Using the force.
Yeah, using the force.
Yeah.
And really, like, body language, their ears, like, just, you know, really.
So you're all playing in the same room?
Yeah. There was, except for me, I was in the isolation booth.
Oh.
Oh, poor Wendy. She had to look through the windows at everybody else. No, it was great. So there was something really cool about those tracks and, like, really just sort of gelling, you know, sort of the basic sound of it. And the fact that the guys didn't know it was so wonderful, because even the guys who I've played with, like Dave, for like 7 or 8 years, like,
really?
Some of the songs he hadn't heard yet. I mean, he had heard like a few of them.
Right, right.
But we even did some really cool arrangement shifts, like, of songs that we have been playing for 5 years or so. Like, where we brought in a 4 minor in some parts of Texas Summer Love. It's just beautiful. Like,
was that your doing, or was that kind of like
a group? We just kind of where we were. Well, we were having a discussion about that song. Yeah. Like, it was going. Well, I guess it's a 5 minor, but anyway, I was going, man, I just want this one line to have just like, it feels like it's such a sad, wistfully sad, like, line. It would be so great if it just had a minor chord behind it. And Dave was like, well, let's try it. Let's just try it. Instead of going to the D major, let's go to the D minor or the whatever it is. F. I have IK poet, so I'm cheating. Anyway.
Whatever. Yeah.
And we tried it, and it worked.
There was someone out there that was like,
sorry,
God,
everybody.
Damn it, and tweeting
Wendy,
at
you're
me.
Such a moron.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, and it worked with the melody perfectly and gave us that melancholic sound. And then we were like, well, let's do it at the end of every chorus and just that once in that one verse. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And that's a song, Texas Summer Love, is one that we've been playing since 2008. So
that's cool.
Really fun just to go in with a fresh heart, fresh eyes, fresh, no attachment to. The whole thing about that record was like, I made an agreement with myself if I was ever going to make another record that it needed to be sweet. And have just...
It's very sweet.
Everything.
Is that the name comes from?
Nectar?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, because that nectar is just at the essence of...
You have the definition. I can read it.
Ah.
Nectar. Noun. A sugary fluid secreted by plants. That's weird. Oh, the drink of the gods. Greek and Roman mythology.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of stuff.
I studied
it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
What'd you study?
I have an obsession with pollination ecology.
Really?
Yeah.
explain that real quick.
Well, I mean,
I didn't realize that. I mean, obviously there must be a study, but it has never crossed my mind.
Oh, pollination ecology?
No.
I mean, it's pretty cool. When I was in college, I took ecology as my main science course. I took it for a year. And God, it was such a cool class. It was one of the coolest programs, period, where I went to school. But the ecology, who knew that this artsy-fartsy girl would just, like, become an ecology freak? But, I mean, you kind of, like, look at the world through a lens of, like, curiosity and, like, wow, okay. You know, your professor takes you to a patch of land and says, what does it take for all of these species? How many species do you think live in this 1x1 square?
Oh, wow.
You know? And why do you think they live there? And how do they live there? And what do they need in order to live there? And then you just go, whoa, I don't know any of these things. Like, why do things live where they live? And how do they live in the same area? And what's beneficial about it? And what's destructive about it? And how does it work? And what minerals, what resources are necessary for this to happen right now? And, like, you open your eyes to the world and you go, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. This is an amazing world. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. So it was just this constant like discovery and levels and levels and levels of it. And so, of course, one of the things that you study in ecology is breeding assemblages and how things reproduce and survive and reproduce, because that's, you know, this important.
Right.
And so we studied all kinds of animals, and we studied all kinds of plants, and we studied my favorite part, though, was pollination ecology, because, you know, there's so many different ways that the world around us is perpetuated, you know, and it's beautiful and complicated and strange. And it shows you how intricately woven the web of life really is whenever you get down to the basics of, without pollination, we're screwed.
Yeah.
You know, all of the different trophic levels, all the different levels of, you know, life on Earth are just kind of like disconnected from one another,
yeah.
like without this sort of basic thing. And like, some are wind, some are like, you know, water, some are flies, some are, you know, some are pollinated, but a lot of things are, a lot of plants have relationships with animal species, like the bees.
Right.
And like the specific shape of a flower. And there's certain things that bees can see on certain flowers, like invisible to our eyes, but like little landing strips with little like dot, 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 go here, you
right,
know?
Right, right.
They can see all this really, you know, it's so beautiful. And certain bees are like, they co-evolve with certain plants, and hummingbirds and, you know, butterflies. And, you know, it's just so fascinating to see who gets what flowers and how it all works. And the way that it's so sexy. It's so sexy.
That's why they call it the birds and the bees.
Yeah, that's why they call it the birds and the bees. It's, they're going for that nectar, man.
Yeah.
It's this beautiful thing of like going to this essence of life, this just, this like little pure and perfect thing, nectar that keeps the world going around.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And I think like people don't access their personal nectar as often as they can. There's a certain, you know, like place in life where we don't pay attention to what lights us up on that deep down on the inside level.
You're right.
Like somewhere we're like not given permission to do that. Like, that's not what grown-ups do, or that's not what, I guess it's probably mostly just that idea of
yeah.
grown-ups, but. And there's some disconnect from that sweetness that's like way deep down inside of us, where like, you know, things that really turn you on really light you up.
Yeah.
And like, there's no turning back from that experience. Like if it's like, today I had a rehearsal and then afterward I learned how to hula hoop. And
oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Brad Hauser taught me how to do some.
Brad Hauser taught you how to hula hoop?
Yeah. He has all kinds of sizes and gauges of
that
hoops.
Sounds like a reality show waiting to happen.
It's awesome.
Brad Hauser teaches people how to hula hoop.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, well, he told me he was getting into it and he wanted to start teaching the other day. And I said, well, let's have a rehearsal for these gigs coming up and
let's do a little
let's
hula
do
hoop.
Some hooping. I'm really green at that, and I've always been into it. Like I wanna Man, it was a crazy good workout. And I thought about like turning some music on, and like I could probably hoop for like 3 hours and be sore from head to toe.
It's a real good core workout.
It's core, legs, arms. It depends on what you do, where you're putting it,
yeah.
how many hoops you've got on, the weight of the hoops. You know, wow, it's just amazing. Like it was
yeah.
amazing to me. I was just like, I knew people who did it were really fit, but I didn't understand. Like it looked so, you know, kind of chill.
Yeah.
And then, like, you start doing it, and you're like, whoa, I'm getting pretty warm. I got to take off my hoodie. And
there's a weird thing that was happening a couple of years ago where people were, like, almost, like, flash hooping at shows.
Yeah.
With these light-up hoops.
That's Lars Garbro.
Didn't that happen somewhere?
She's really a part of that
scene. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, seems, you know, it's very retro, I guess, in this day and age where everything's so high-tech and so advanced. Like, hey, I've got this circle, and
LED
I spin
hoop.
It with my hips. Well, no, not this LED hoop, just the fact that you're hooping and you're doing this thing that, like, it's almost like spinning the little metal circle down the road with another piece of metal stick. Or
oh,
whatever.
Yeah. I remember that.
It just wouldn't fly these days. Like, you couldn't even show a three-year-old that they've already got, like, iPads
yeah,
and
like,
shit.
Oh, yeah, that's, cute. So, that's cute, Dad.
So who you're getting ready to do some shows And you have Brad Houser?
Yeah, he's
He didn't play on the album?
No, Michael Stephens played on the record.
Who's that guy? I don't even know.
He's in the jazz scene more.
Oh.
He does Austin Jazz Workshop and does a lot of work in the jazz.
Do you jazz?
is that a personal question?
Do you jazz, girl? Hey, girl.
I mean,
do you hang at the Elephant Room? I mean, I know you've worked with guys like Stephen Doster.
Uh-huh.
That's a guy that moonlights in the jazz area.
Sure.
Without a lot of people knowing about it.
I mean, I would not say that I jazz beyond like your fundamental, like old school New Orleans jazz, sort of where jazz and blues were sort of like overlapping. And
right.
Doing like that kind of thing. That's about my, as a singer, that's like kind of, on the new record, there's a tune called Dance with the Moon. And it's,
yeah, that's it's, a great song,
it's
by
real.
The way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, we can talk about that song.
Okay.
Like
talk about
whenever
it.
You want to talk about it.
Now. We just got, now.
Do you jazz? Let's talk about this jazzy song.
Well, yeah. Do you jazz?
Do you jazz?
That's going to be the way I ask people that question from now on.
Do you rock and roll, baby? Do you jazz?
Do you jazz?
Mm-hmm. Dance with the Moon was the last song that I wrote for the record. See, we had tracked those 8 tracks, and Mark and I did some co-writing together, which was new for me.
It's great. I love writing with that dude.
He is amazing, yeah. Right? So, and he's a really fun editor, and he is somebody that you can trust that's going to be in full service to this song, and you're going to be delighted in the way that you guys play together. It's playful. It's so fun. And I've never felt that way. And what was it? I've been doing this since 97. I mean, like, how long is that? It's a long time to not have that experience.
Oh, man. I love that about him. He's not shy to have a good time. He's not shy to get excited. He's not too cool to go like, yeah.
Or, oh, gosh, really we got to cut that out. Was that really necessary? I loved it because I wasn't, like, in the whole, like, writing for this record, I wanted a really human record. I wanted to make a record about being human, and I wanted it to talk about uncomfortable stuff. And I wanted it to feel okay, like give everybody permission to embrace their bad habits and their good habits and exactly who they were right then and there. You know, like I just felt like that was the whole point, like to get that innocence back. You have to just laugh about who you are.
Yeah.
Right. So.
And so you're writing this song.
So yeah, we had written a few songs together, and so we were both kind of trying to figure out what the last couple of tunes would be. We had 9 ready to go, and so we went our separate ways for a little while, and he wrote Girl Without a Name, and about the same week that I wrote that he wrote that, I wrote Dance with the Moon. So we got together and we went, okay, well, now we have a record. And Dance with the Moon, so I was in Los Angeles a few years ago, or actually just last October. God, it feels like a century.
And time goes by fast.
I know. I've done so much in this year.
Yeah,
like, I was in Los Angeles last October, and we were walking on Hollywood Boulevard, and I was looking down at the stars, and I was just kind of being like, wow, thinking, wow, this is like the only time people look down at stars is when they're walking on this street.
Right.
Because usually you're looking up at them, and how weird to, and the whole like concept of a star, a person being a star. And I got really kind of like grossed out in my stomach. And I was like, you know, screw that. You know, I wrote this tune about the music biz or just celebrityness or celebrityhood. I don't even know if that's a word, but the whole like world of stars.
Yeah.
And how many human beings' lives are devastated and ability to be present and enjoy their lives is completely like put to the side in this pursuit of this ephemeral dangling carrot that has all this promise but is never enough, never thin enough, never tall enough, never charting high enough, never whatever. Like there's always something else that makes you feel crappy about who you are.
Yeah.
If you're like really in pursuit of that like dangling thing that's always out there. And I just thought stars are stupid. Like you can like dream about the stars. You can want to be a star, but you know, they're probably all dead anyway. By the time you see them, they're dead anyway. So what's the point in wanting to be one?
That's what they say.
That's what I was thinking. So why would you want to be one? Why don't you just be where you are? The moon is really nice. It's different all the time.
I mean, LA give, like showers you with that feeling of like weird. First, you there. It's like a whole. There's a cycle. Like at first, you feel insignificant and unimportant, and you're like, how do I get into this club where people are cool in this town? And then it just is. You're like, ugh, fucking people are horrible. You know what I mean? Vapid. You know. But you know what? There's a lot of great artists there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that. I mean, clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
It's not everyone, but there is a vibe of this. What were you doing there? What were you?
I was just hanging out.
Oh. You went there to hang out?
I went there to hang out.
What? Really?
Yeah. Just went there to
visit. Was there a dude involved?
Visit a couple friends.
Oh. Okay. And so you didn't even play?
No.
You just went to...
I had a United Buddy Pass for a little while. So oh. I took the liberty to go visit pals. If I had a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, I'd...
That's cool.
Go pop over here or go... I went out to San Francisco in that same time and visited with my manager and worked up some cool stuff with her.
So you have a manager?
Yeah, I work with a really awesome woman named Suzanne Koga. Mm-hmm. She is... a part of a management group called Deal Matters. And she has been working with Roberta Flack for like 25 years. And she works with Devel Crawford out of New Orleans.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
And she's just a really wonderful person. I've known her since 2008. We've been friends a long time. And we were really waiting for the opportunity where it made sense in my business to bring somebody on with that mm-hmm. kind of leadership. Because, you know, whenever you're pulling in a certain income level or a certain amount of stuff. And like for a couple of years, I really had to take off and reevaluate what I was doing with my life because I got really sick and I had to get better. And
yeah,
my life just really, my priorities had to like change. And man, I'm happy. I'm so happy now. I'm so good. Like I was really struggling for a while because yeah. It's such a hard business. And
it really makes you feel bad about yourself.
You know, I got to tell you a good story, though. In September, I went to the Americana Music Conference just out of curiosity because I thought maybe my music, maybe my career.
Let me go find bigger snobs.
No, let me just go because I've been to Folk Alliance and that's not really for me. And Southwest doesn't really feel like, it just feels like, you know, a racket. For a lot of artists, it's really difficult. I just have a lot of compassion for people who put all their eggs in that basket because it could be a really good experience of networking and meeting folks and showcasing. But for a lot of people, they travel really far for a sad thing. And my heart just kind of feels, and you know, Folk Alliance is cool, I guess, but it's not really my bag. And so I always wondered like, is there somewhere where I can, where there's folks who like kind of,
like me.
Yeah, and who
people.
Who understand like the type of music I make. It's definitely American roots music. It's roots based.
Right.
I play with a lot of different styles of American roots music. And, you know, it's swampy. It's groovy. It's sometimes bluesy, sometimes folky. But like people criticize me all the time for having diversity. And I thought diversity was a strength when it came to writing and stuff. But I don't know. People want you to fit in a little tiny box, and it's really stupid because they really also don't want every song to sound the same. So they really don't know what they want.
Yeah. Somewhere in between. You know what they want if you're selling a lot of records? Then if you're diverse or if you're writing the same song over and over again, you're doing the right thing. That's what they want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
They just want you to be successful. If you're successful, it doesn't matter what the fuck you're doing.
Right.
You can be Radiohead.
Yeah.
Makes that music that sounds like popcorn.
And like synthesize
it. I do too. But I mean, you know,
it's so weird.
In comparison to like, you know, pop music, those guys shouldn't be as famous as they are because they're so weird.
They're weird.
And
yeah.
But thank God they are, you know.
Yeah.
Thank God they're there.
When I heard them for the first time, I went, it's not dead. The music world, like they snuck in. Yeah. Like, I don't know how they did that. There's something really great about that. I love it whenever those folks appear and then have success. Like, it's just like, yes, score, awesome.
So at the Americana conference, you found like-minded?
I just went out of curiosity. I didn't even go to showcase or anything. I just went because I wanted to see what it was all about. I figured I couldn't have an opinion of it if I didn't go and put my body in that space and open my eyes and just see what it was about. And I fell in love with it. I loved everything about the conference. I loved how they embraced so many different artists of so many different traditions, some who combined different traditions. They had a curiosity and a joy to learn about how and why they combined different traditions. There was a certain like respect for innovation and adhering to certain traditional, you know, approaches to music making. There was an appreciation for all ages. Like at the award ceremony, I found it really beautiful that like they would have an emerging, quote unquote, emerging artist play a song, and then they would give an award to someone with a lifelong, you know, commitment to their craft. And then there was just this constant like dialogue and love and celebration of tenure that you don't see in pop music. Like there were, you know, I was one of the younger people there, and I'm like 36 years old. And yet all of these people who had careers and in like lifelong careers in music, doing lots of different things, wearing lots of different hats, playing lots of different music, were celebrated for it. You know, Buddy Miller, oh my gosh, what a talent. Jim Lauderdale, Buddy Miller, Emmylou Harris, all these guys are sort of
Girth,
like...
Was Girth Marlix?
I didn't see Girth,
he
but...
He was the best side man a couple of years ago or something.
I didn't see him... That's, I mean, but that's totally Girth's world. Like, they... But it's so beautiful because I thought...
I love Girth Marlix.
Yeah, he's such
And I love
talent.
It, Buddy. I don't know Buddy Miller, but man, that guy's...
He's a monster.
Badass, man.
He's a monster. He's so amazing. Like, one second he's playing a sort of real country song on an acoustic guitar, and the next minute he's totally wailing the blues, and the next minute he's playing, like, this really soulful groove riff, and, I mean, everybody's just right there with him. And I'm just like, yeah, this dude is amazing. But he's, I mean, they all do so many things, too. They don't limit it to being live performers. I mean, they do studio work, they do songwriting work, they do production work, they do music supervision for things. You know, like, there's also this beautiful thing about there's no wrong or right way to do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, they celebrated the Old Crow Medicine Show because they had never had a hit song, but Wagon Wheel had sold a gazillion copies.
Right.
But, like, they'd never had a radio anything with, you know, but it was so epidemic. So there were so many different facets of celebrating different people's musical legacies and their investment and their tenure and their...
Do you feel like, you said you were one of the youngest people there?
Well, I mean...
Do you feel like it's fading away or something? What's going on?
I mean, there were young people there, but I felt like there were... No, I think it's growing. I think it's growing. I think that, I mean, there were a lot of, like, seemed like the trend was focus on New Orleans and Louisiana music this year. And then also this other sort of a lot of showcases that involved young fiddle playing girls and guys with beards. So, I mean, there were some trending things. It was like a lot of beards and then a lot of, which, I mean, probably maybe last year it was banjos. I don't really know. But, you know, like there's still trending things. Things that kind of come in the waves. But, you know, there was everything from rockabilly to, you know, super folky stuff to, like, you know, people doing all kinds of stuff. You know, it was just like a real diverse.
But you found your place.
I just loved it. Yeah. I loved it because I'd get on the elevator and I'd say, what did you do today? How was your day? To a stranger. Like, who did you see? What did you do? And they'd tell me a story. And I was like, wow, that's so awesome. Like, I saw Delbert and Glenn. I mean, Delbert McClinton and Glenn Clark, who haven't played together in 40 years. They just made a new record. And we used to have, we found the Delbert and Glenn recordings from the early 70s at a European record store. And Chad and I used to listen to it. Chad Pope and I used to listen to it pretty much every day, all the time. We just loved it. And then...
Did you say Chip Pope?
Chad Pope.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we used to listen to it all the time. He's from Fort Worth, so he was like, yeah, these guys are from Fort Worth, you know? And it was, like, really awesome. Their records were so good, but they're not available. They're out of print.
And but now they just made a new one?
They just made a
Maybe
new one.
Maybe they'll start bringing them back then. That
well,
usually happens,
I hope so,
doesn't it?
Because, oh my gosh, those records are so good. They stand up next to everything else that came out in the early 70s in terms of country, blues, folk, songwriting at its top. You know, they're great, and they're fun, and they're wonderful, and they're just great harmonies. Oh my gosh. So Delbert and Glenn, they were. I looked at the program. I had been so busy touring. I had been touring for 3.5 months at that point, and we put Nectar out the week before here. And then I went off to Americana and came back and finished releasing Nectar in this region. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've been on the go since June 9th. I have finally, about a week ago, came back and wasn't only home for about 36 hours. So, Americana, Delbert and Glenn. Oh, my gosh.
Did you go with your manager or did you go just on your own?
No, I just went.
Just by yourself?
Yeah, I had some friends who were also attending. So,
where was it? Nashville?
Yeah.
Of course. Where else would it be?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be here.
It could be here.
This is Americana town.
This is totally an Americana town.
A lot of traditional music and offshoots of traditional music.
That's right.
And modern takes on traditional music. What, where did you go this summer? You went to Wyoming? Were you there for a while?
Arkansas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Colorado, and Wyoming. And I spent 6 weeks in Wyoming.
Why did you do that?
Well, I mean,
not in a bad way. Someone go to Wyoming.
Have you been to Jackson Hole, Wyoming?
No. I don't think so.
You'd remember it. It's about an hour south of Yellowstone.
Okay.
It's in the Grand Tetons, some of the most beautiful mountains on the planet.
You're pretty outdoorsy.
I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I spend a lot of time in a van.
Yeah.
I like to look at outdoors. Sometimes I like to be in it.
Are you traveling with a band on these tours?
Well, that was my experiment for this summer, was to see what it would be like to travel solo. And put bands together where bands were needed. And
how did that go?
Duos and trios together where that was needed so that my budget wouldn't get maxed out. And so that I could do solo shows if necessary and then hire people regionally. I thought it would be really interesting to experiment with that because it's really hard to make a living on the road with a full band. Or, you know, it's just like you can't really do it. I don't know how people do it. Actually, honestly, I'm not really sure, but sponsors or something.
Yeah, tour support.
Yeah. I haven't heard that word in a long time.
Yeah, I haven't either.
But, I mean, I thought, well, what if I went out by myself and just networked with all the people I knew here and other places where I've worked and just say, who's good in this town, you know? Who, if you were going to hire a band for my music in this town, who would you hire? Last year, I hooked up with this band out of Santa Fe, and they're killer. They're not even a band. They're just different players that live there. Mikey Chavez, he lived here for a little while. He's a drummer. Amazing. Played with Otmar Liebert for a while.
Oh, wow.
Brant Leeper, who travels pretty much all the time with Coco Montoya, but lives in Santa Fe and is a great key player. And Justin Bransford on bass, who's just such a tasty guy. Great pocket, great player. And like that was like a magical little thing that just came together a year ago. So it really inspired me. And my trip to Belgium where I did the thing with the Lazy Bones and I met them randomly and we made a record. You know, I was like, well, maybe it's not as hard as it seems. Maybe if I like throw some songs in a Dropbox and some charts and hire people who are pros, maybe it could be a lot easier than I think.
And
it's been great.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it's also amazing because you get to connect with the community in a more intimate and
sure
really really meaningful way,
yeah,
because you're connecting with their people and
yeah
it's
the soul of the community.
So beautiful. I know, it's so great. Yeah, yeah. I feel like on so many levels it's been such a gift to kind of take that risk. Met a great guitar player to join us in New Mexico the next time around. He, you know, well, actually I sat in at this blues jam and just sang a tune or two, and he wrote me the next day on Facebook. I just met him and he said, I know you're playing with these guys and over the weekend and I'll learn all your material. I'll come play with you guys over the weekend. I'd just love to. It would be a pleasure. You're great. And I was like, okay. So I didn't have him in the budget for the first time, but whenever I toured back through New Mexico on the way back from Jackson,
you're like, hey.
He was in the band and it was great. And I work with a band up in Jackson, Wyoming. We did some weddings. You know, I played at the Mangy Moose Weekly. Did some other weekly gigs. Yeah.
Was it fun? Did you?
Well, I was working on the record the whole time. So I spent, you know, most of my days working with the graphic
plan,
design and
getting it together. How'd you get it together to do? You did a pledge music?
I did a pledge.
How did that go?
Did well. We reached our goal. But as things do, they go, well, they go over budget. And then by the time you pay for publicity, you're still in the hole sum. So I'm trying.
In the Jackson hole.
No, in sorry. The Jackson hole. But like, I don't feel like I'm in the hole. I feel like this is a great record. And what I would like to ideally do a bigger release in the spring. And we're kind of figuring out what the first quarter is going to look like and who else we can bring on board to our team. I'm working with a really good booking agent right now. And Susanna's great, visionary and excellent with some of the management pieces and on levels that I don't really comprehend as an indie artist. So it's been really insightful and exciting to like learn from, you know, from her and kind of see what's possible. Like if you just kind of put it out there.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about whatever is going to happen. I mean, people are like, oh, I hope this record is a success. And I just look at them and I go, oh my gosh, it was so delightful to create. It's already a success. It's so beautiful.
See, that's good to be able to have that feeling.
It felt so good. Every minute of it.
You know, Addison has that feeling. People come away from working with him. I don't really know anyone that has a bad experience. I always had good experiences working with him. I love playing with him, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
he's a good player, musician.
He's just wonderful, and he's got a good sense of humor, and he's down to earth, and he's a realist, but he's also really passionate. I love working with him. It won't be the last time.
He's very kind, too. He's, you know, he's there for you.
Yeah.
As you know, as a producer, you go into a thing sometimes, and there's life stuff going on. You're stressed out, man. You know, even if it's a great time, there's still a level of stress. You're responsible for this thing.
This big old project.
As a producer, he takes on that stress with you.
He's compassionate.
Yeah.
He
really does.
That compassion element was certainly a place where I felt comfortable sharing songs that were like, hey, this has too many verses, this chorus is too long, let's butcher it together. And he'd be like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I just thought, this is my partner in crime, this is my teammate. You know, just such a, yeah. I mean, how could you not love all of those pieces? I mean, he's got such great sensibilities. And, you know, the wonderful part at the beginning was we just sat down and he said, how are you going to play this live? And I said, everything from solo to full band. And he said, okay, we're going to make a record that is all about the song, you know, and your voice. And we're going to get the best performance of the song that we can get out of you so that every time you play it, no matter the instrumentation, that's what's going to shine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, thank you for
hearing. He's keyed into feeling too. Like sometimes I would sing a thing with him and he would be like, oh, that was it. And I'd be like, no, let me do it again. It was like, it's like, fuck, are you crazy?
Yeah.
I don't think you can get there again. Like you got to a place it's going to be weird to try and get to. And he's really a good judge of that stuff.
Yeah.
So you have you finished the third Ham Jam album?
The album is finished.
This is the third one. You and Shane Mott, fabulous dentist and rock and roll enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
Huge fan of music and supporter.
Huge
Shane.
Supporter.
Great guy.
Ham provider.
Fellow
Louisianian. Shane. You know,
I've been going out with a Louisiana girl.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. From what part?
Baton Rouge.
Oh.
Prairieville. Yeah.
All right.
To be exact. She's from the streets of Prairieville.
So, the great urban sprawl of...
of Prairieville. So, sorry. So, you and Shane, fellow Louisianian and Annite. What's this?
Louisianian.
I went to his place and I had meat pies. I went to where he's from.
Natchitoches.
Not
you went
with
to
him.
Natchitoches?
I went to Natchitoches, yeah, to play.
You did? Uh-huh. When did you play in Natchitoches?
At, I can't remember. I made a movie about it, though.
You know, that's my favorite place. That's where I started writing music. That's my
really?
One of my, like, my heart goes, oh. I went there, played for my, I went to school there.
Where did you go to the special high school for
I went
smart
to the
people?
Special college for smart people.
But do you know the high school
program? Yeah,
LSMSA. That's what I played there. My friend Paul English, who's in Skyrocket, his graduating class had us come and play their reunion there at the school.
So did you fall in love with Natchitoches?
Oh, yeah, and the meat pies. I'll be honest.
Lazions.
Throw me some food, I'll be serious.
I lived in the Boussiage house catty corner to Lazions.
Lazions.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's delicious. Do you eat meat? You don't seem like you eat meat. There's a lot of yoga going on.
I'm not eating meat right now, but...
it's not to say...
I do eat meat.
You do?
Yeah. But not right now. I was on the road for 6 months and, you know, I made good choices, but I was really excited to get home and be in a kitchen and cook vegan for a month. So,
right, because you cook.
Yeah.
You still haven't ever had me over for food.
Well, I haven't
been
here. You
realize I'm just a lonely guy just in here with a fucking pot pie in the freezer?
Lazio's meat pie in the freezer. No. Nobody would feel sorry for you.
Swanson's. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, I'll cook for you, Johnny. What do you want? Do you want, it's winter, do you want mushroom soup? Do you want butternut squash soup? Do you want my kale?
Whatever.
With the special sauce?
Whatever you have to offer, I'll try it.
Okay.
Because I trust that and I love to eat food.
I made this amazing curry last night. Instead of using noodles or rice, I used spaghetti squash and I made a Thai green curry.
Mm.
It's so good. I actually had a bowl before I came over here.
Nice.
Oh, dude. So good. Dude. It's so good.
Okay, so you and Shane Mott, fellow Louisianian.
Yes.
Got together. How did you guys come up with doing the ham jam?
Oh, Shane and Rod Williams were, you right. know, were just, you know, saying they wanted to do a holiday thing. And then one day in October, a couple years ago, he was working on my mouth and he was telling me all about it. He was so excited. And I was, by the time I got, you know, I'd heard the whole thing and I was like, okay, well, it's October 21st and we have not very long to pull this off. So I'm going to come on board and help you if you want. And
I think I played at that one.
The first one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was, the first one was really, really fun. We're working on the details of this year's event right now.
If you need a host.
Really?
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, well then I'll keep you in the loop.
Keep me in the loop.
Shane and I were talking this morning about our secret plans for that. But we do have a date on the books. We do have a record. And let's see who's on it. Joe E. Lee.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. With Jeff Plankenhorn, I think.
They've been playing. I saw them play together this summer. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great. I don't think he's ever not sounded great, but he sounded great. I hadn't seen him in a long time.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, one of my
favorites.
But
so, yeah, like that's one of them. The Rankin Twins. Reckless Kelly. Dave Madden has a track on this one. It's a really cool track too. Really neat. We're going to try to pull it off at the show. It's like this really, really complicated sort of multi-voice choral type piece. Like really cool, weird, great.
Is he still doing like big shows every once in a while?
Yeah, we're doing one at the One-to-One Bar. Good. On the 21st of this month.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't even bring that to tell you who else is on it. And
is that the Thursday, the 21st?
See, Pauline That's next Reese, Thursday. Dale Watson.
Oh, Dale Watson.
Yeah, he's on it. And I like Brandon him. Jenkins and Sons of Fathers.
Who's that?
They're apparently really large in the Americana world. They're from here, which I met them there. Which, you know, that's always weird. They're like, hey, Wendy, do you know so-and-so? Like my friend from New York introducing me to somebody from Austin. Like,
in
don't
Nashville.
You know? Don't yeah. In Nashville. Do you like, don't you know? I'm like, oh, hi. Nice to. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard because I don't spend a lot of time here in Austin anymore. I'm out a lot. So yeah. I can't keep up with the scene. And when I'm here, I'm selfishly cooking a lot and enjoying.
You still yoga?
Yeah. Actually taught a private this morning.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. One of the packages for Pledge Music for the album was private yoga with a copy of the yoga DVD and some of my kale chips.
It
was
I still use the yoga DVD from time to time. I do.
Yay.
Yeah. I like it. It's weird. It's you.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's me like many years ago. Whenever I see it, I'm like, oh, that's so weird.
Yeah.
That was me. But like, I'm different now. I'm happier now even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's important to be happy. Okay, so the
or like joyful, because happy is like insinuates like that dangling carrot thing, but joyful and just.
Yeah. Happy insinuates to me some sort of manic behavior.
Like something outside of you
happy,
is making
happy
you happy.
Happy is going to come down.
But joyful like, is
yeah,
like.
Yeah, joyful.
That's what that I think. A little that's bit, the better word.
Yeah.
Joyful.
You always seem so grounded. You never have seemed like a kook to me.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I'm much of a kook.
No, I mean, you never seemed like some kind of like kooky, you know what I mean?
Flake?
Not just a flake. There's, you know, there's people out there that just really think too highly and too much about themselves.
Oh my
you
gosh.
Know what I mean? And well, and you just never, to me,
a
that's
a far way
kook.
To fall from that, Johnny.
I know.
That, to me, you those just start are the falling kooks. Down from that little pedestal you put yourself up on.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. We're all humans, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's the point. Like, and I think if you're a musician, like, is a part of your service to the world, you're making people feel okay about being human. It's medicine, you know? It's music is medicine.
And that's what you're doing with this record. You're saying, like, hey, here it is, warts and all.
Yeah.
Life,
my first song
humanity.
Is called Dirty Things, and yeah. It's about being a tomboy and, like, never being a proper lady and, like, being okay with it, sort of.
Yeah.
Okay with it, but also still kind of angsty about it. Like, that, you know, it's that's real.
But you still like to get dolled up.
Oh, I like it all.
Yeah.
I like it all.
You were on the cover of a magazine.
I was on the cover of a couple magazines this last month.
That's, I like it when people do that. I was on the couple of, sorry, that was like two of them.
Like two of them, man.
How many? Really? Yeah.
Yeah, really. Two. Yeah. That's kind of neato.
I like how I just left that hanging as an interviewer.
Just neato.
Yeah, it is neato.
I mean.
And people are responding positively to the album. Do you feel like this is your best work? Your most focused and clearest? Nectar.
I think that for me, it was certainly the most right where I belong was a really special experience. Doster and I had a really great time making it. We Are One was really cool. It took what I was doing to a different place. It was swampier than I'd ever been and all that stuff. But Nectar is, well, for me personally, as a writer and as a person who is not really quite sure why you make records, because it's so expensive and so bonkers, and you have to really be invested in what happens in people's hearts.
Gotta want to make it.
You gotta want to make it, and you gotta want to let go of your expectation to the outcome, you know, because success looks like a lot of things, and I think that having made this album with so much joy and connection and with so few obstacles and with all of my scars at the forefront of it, not as handicaps, but as like my teachers. Like, yeah. I was like, here are scars.
And
here is being human. And here it's icky and it's uncomfortable and it's messy. And it's beautiful, and I'm not going to pretend like it's something else. And
yeah.
I think I had a lot of fear in writing in the past to really go all the way there. Like, people say, you know, you need to have this, you know, persona. And I guess, but what if we didn't? What if some of us just had, like,
yeah.
the goal to be connected and tell people it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
maybe,
you know,
maybe
that's what your role is.
Maybe that's a part of what I'm supposed to do, you know.
Yeah. I think your ham jam is Wednesday, December 18th.
Yeah. We just we're in
dates.
Yeah. Well,
okay, but you're going to Chicago?
Yeah, going to Chicago.
What's that? Why?
Oh, I'm doing a show at the Elbow Room.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And I'm also doing a private show for the Austin Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Oh.
Yeah. I've done this 3 years in a row now. I do a little show for their all of their Chicago clientele.
That's fantastic.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
It's really sweet. A lot of the time I sit on the floor and play Rudolph with the kids.
Oh, that's cool.
And, you know, I do some of my own material, but I love working with the Convention and Visitors Bureau. They're cool.
What did they? Does that help you out?
Sure.
I mean, does that help your audience?
I mean,
are they playing you to people that, you know? Oh yeah, it's Austin, I mean, it's, person, yeah, playing music.
Yeah, sometimes it's that.
Yeah.
And then other times it's really sweet. I mean, sometimes the folks I'll play for, if I do a show for them, they'll buy 20 CDs.
That's what I like
to give
out
to their clients.
Yeah.
And they'll say, this is, we want you to take this artist home. She's valuable to us and we want you to take it home with you. That's really sweet.
That's awesome.
I've had really good experiences working with them here and you know, going to Chicago and doing the show with them and then being able to add on my own date of a club show, more formal. I know that they're going to be able to invite folks to that as well, you know, if they like feel like it's the other one is a daytime event. Okay. Right by the Bean.
Oh, yeah, nice.
At the Park Grill right there in Millennium Park. Millennium Park?
You spend a lot of time up there in Chicago?
No, I really like it, though.
I like it, too.
It's really cool.
Yeah. You like Santa Fe?
I love Santa Fe.
I like Santa Fe, too.
I'm Austin is freaking me out right now.
Why? Oh, because when you come back, you sent me that thing. You're like, I can't believe it.
Yeah, I was only gone a few months, and I feel like traffic
is quadruple. I think there might be a lot of traffic because we're in the weekdays between two giant festival things.
I don't know. It's been like that since I got back.
Oh.
Real
odd. I think that every week we're in between two giant festival
things.
Well,
we are there also. I guess that's true. Okay, that's... Or, to, you know, there's conferences going. I mean, we are clearly a destination city,
yeah,
which is
it's
wonderful.
It's really a happening place now.
And you're
part of the Visitors Bureau. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's really nice to represent the community. There are other things that are making me really sad about the way that the music community is, you know, able to grow. Because I think that the ceiling is getting lower in some respects for us. I worry.
Well, it's going to become a big city, and with that, it's becoming more diverse, mm-hmm. You know. Now, before, like, I remember you would go out and do stuff, and it was musicians, people that worked in the government, and people that went to college.
College, yeah. That was it.
And now there was, like, film people, and then all of a sudden there's high-tech people, yeah. And now there's just, like, people that work at Red Lobster.
It's
everywhere.
Everything.
Everywhere. I mean, yeah, it's all different kinds of people, and they don't have the... It's weird because I do have this conversation with people about this town because it does, for those of you that are not from here, there's a rich tradition, there's a reverence paid to musicians where, you know...
What's called the live music capital.
Right.
Of the world. So it's got a name. And,
I think it can still be that. It's just, you know, it's going to have to take on... The other things that big cities say, it's also the car racing capital.
Now, of the U.S.
of the U.S.
That's right. Yeah. But it's interesting because it would just be really nice if the things that used that branding actually supported the community.
My favorite thing that I've ever seen with irony is, or involving irony, was walking down the street with somebody. I think it was my old girlfriend, Jessie. Because I think it was up for a while. But where the Black Cat was, which was a symbol of live music in Austin,
yes,
for so long, it was closed up and it was boarded up. And on the board that boarded it up was a mural of rock and roll. And it said, Austin, live music capital of the world.
And
it's like, it was the
and
weirdest thing to have it over a boarded up like legendary club. Owned by my friend's parents.
Did you take a picture?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, if I go through Facebook,
if I
like
write
2 years ago,
a controversial
it'll be on there.
Blog about it, will you loan me that picture?
Yeah, I'll try and find it.
Because I really would love...
It's gone now. It's another club that is kind of cool. It's kind of an outside club.
The symbolism of that is so
perfect.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
I mean, like, yeah.
That's what
I've been thinking about, like, writing a little blog that may be...
I think you and Shane doing this ham jam thing brings focus in. It gets on the news, which regular people that are not live music capital
right.
of the world.
Yeah,
people,
we had great coverage.
But,
last
oh, hey,
year.
There's a lot mm-hmm. of yeah. I mean, I see it all the time.
Yeah, I did a few interviews with different TV stations.
And you're reaching. The
Red
Lobster.
You're, yeah.
You're reaching the Red Lobsters at that point, and you can bring them in. They'll be like, oh, here I am. I'm going to Red Lobster all the time, and I'm not really getting involved in Austin. And what makes Austin uniquely Austin, which is this sort of thing. So, you're doing what you can.
I'm doing my part.
Yeah.
Certainly community fellowship oriented.
Yes.
I mean, for sure.
Yeah. And I love it. I think Shane is a big proponent of that stuff. He's been getting involved. I've seen him sponsoring weekly Sunday shows and all kinds of stuff. He has music at the place. He calls me and invites me places, and I haven't been able to go.
He's a sponsor of ACL Live. He's a sponsor of Little Things and Large Things. He's always involved in the community.
Always the best, man.
Music. Oh.
I'm going to call him after this.
I have to call him after this, actually.
I'm going to go see this band called All the Elements tonight. Have you seen them?
No.
It's this guy, Drew Smith. You remember him?
Oh, yeah. I love Drew Smith.
I love him, too. It's him and Joe Hummel and this other dude. Trio. Wear suits. Very focused rock and roll music. Very good. At the Mohawk tonight, 10 p.m.
Let me see. I don't know if I can. I have stuff.
It's going to happen like a week and a half ago to people listening to it. They're like...
Oh, sorry, everybody.
First of all, you explained ecological...
pollination ecology.
That's all right.
Birds and the bees, baby.
I had a friend of mine explain give me his whole rap from when he sold vacuum cleaners door to door on the show, which was to me really exciting. people can get Nectar online. Your wendycolonna.com is very nice. Your new website.
Oh, thank you.
I saw it.
Thank you. That's Sana de Moulin.
That's one L and two N's.
C-O-L-O-N-N-A. You can see it with the baloney song.
Oh, that's really good. And it's a beautiful packaging. I love the colors.
Also, Sana.
It's very natural. Beautiful picture inside of you. Inside of you. It's a beautiful picture inside of you. First of all, I'm like, did you do it with Mark Addison? There's a beautiful picture inside of you. Verbal faux pas by Johnny Gowdy. If I ever do a blooper reel, those will both be on it.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful. I think it sounds amazing, and I'm glad you're out there making music, Wendy Colonna.
Thank you, Johnny.
Yeah, and I'm glad you have a soul, you have a purpose, and you care about your musical community.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
I like you for that.
I care about community, period. I think music is just a really, really, really powerful way to connect people who don't agree on most everything else.
And it's super fun.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't take that away. I mean, that's...
But I mean, you put a bunch of people in a room who couldn't agree on something to eat or politics or religion, but man, they jam out to the same music. There's something magical about that.
Yep.
So healing, so good, transcendent, Yeah. For everybody involved, it's good.
Yeah. You have a big show. The one thing I failed to mention, and I'm doing this without... It's not even in my notes. It's just from my memory. Boom.
The one at the Stateside.
Yeah, the Stateside with Ginger Lee.
Patrice Pike. Hattie Lane, Shelley King, and someone I haven't met yet.
Okay. That's going to be great. Are you excited?
I'm really excited.
That's a beautiful theater.
And yeah, we'll have the Bottas on rhythm section.
Oh, Bada and Mrs. Bada.
Anita,
yeah. Yeah, Bada's Bada.
And I think it'll be amazing.
Yeah, beautiful room. That's gonna be amazing.
Gosh, I saw Alan Toussaint there recently. Gosh, it's so beautiful. It's so wonderful in that space. So that'll be a really special show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right next to our fellowship ham celebration, our CD thing for that. So that'll be a busy week after Chicago, back in Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Promoting. And the Ham Jam, how can people find that? Because there's past
ones. We have a website, ones. hamjam.com, but our Facebook is more up to date.
It's H-A-A-M.
Yes, H-A-A-M.
Two A's in the
Health
Ham.
Alliance for Austin Musicians.
Jam. Ham Jam.
Hamjam.com. But we also have a Facebook page that gets updated pretty regularly.
Okay.
So you go like us.
Yeah.
Go like us.
I'll go like you guys now.
Go like us.
Throw my name in the hat, seriously, for host. I'm so into it.
You're the first.
I was invited to moderate, or not moderate, be part of a panel. It's the whole world. I just want to talk.
I want you on board.
I want to talk more.
I want you on board. And you know, there's only like a few of us on the team that decides, so I bet you're in.
Yeah, hopefully. Tell Shane I'm sorry I haven't been able to do stuff.
Well, you'll see him then.
Yeah. Well, God, I hope it's him before. Wendy Colonna, get out there. You can buy your record on iTunes. You can find it at Waterloo in Austin. Is it in other stores around the nation?
It isn't currently. We are sort of figuring out, are there other stores? I'm just teasing.
Well, you
teasing.
Got Cactus in Houston. Yeah. Great record store.
Oh, it's there.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's totally there.
Yeah, because I mean, people listen to this everywhere. But they can find it on most immediately, quickly on iTunes. Go to your website,
wendycolonna.com. I have CD Baby link up there.
You have a free song downloads.
Yeah, but that's from Shine. I haven't figured out
SoundCloud.
Oh.
It's on SoundCloud. You go to your website. Hey, free download, guys.
Oh,
and I think
cool.
It's Get Dirty.
Dirty Things.
Dirty Things.
Oh, great.
Get Dirty.
you're three for three.
Bloopers. Yeah. Awesome. I'm going to work on a blooper reel for next year.
That's really good. I want to hear it.
No one will probably want to listen to that.
Well, I do.
I hope. There's nothing I'm forgetting.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm really happy. I mean, we could chat forever, but
yeah.
I mean, this was fun. Like,
it's always fun.
I've been on the road for so long, and I've learned so much in so many different towns that I'm still assimilating what I learned in September right now. Like, it's like, and my time over in Jackson, Wyoming, and New Mexico, and Colorado. I mean, like, I'm still like in assimilation mode. Like, I've got a stack of business cards from Americana that I haven't followed up on because I've been on the road releasing the album all fall. So it's time for me to regroup, and hopefully we'll do a big – we just found out we're on a really big festival in California.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Our first, you know, big sort of thing came through.
Do you ever have parties? Morning.
Do I have parties?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, have a party at your house. Hey, yeah. Come on over, everyone. I'm having a party.
Sometimes. I had a little bitty going away party.
Invite me.
Okay. I'm going to cook for you first. Like,
I want you to invite me to dinner. I want you to invite me to host the thing. And I want you to invite me to some parties.
Okay.
These are three things that I'll be waiting for.
Oh, okay.
Last time you really came through. You mailed me that yoga DVD. And I'm more limber for it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that thing. I taught yoga to the owner of the Evangeline Cafe, who I've known since I was a young lady back in Lake Charles.
Yeah.
This morning. And I gave him his DVD and showed him around, and I'm so excited. I love that thing.
Yeah,
it's so fun to share it with people. Lane from the Bugle Boy just got hers in the mail.
Good.
Yeah, I love it.
You have a calming voice on that thing. Makes me feel calm.
Thank you so much, Johnny.
It's like your female. That's my. John,
you
know, Italy.
Did you notice? Did you ever hear any of the ACL festival commercials on the radio?
No, that's you.
That was me. The Cure, Depeche Mode. Phoenix. And every time I would say Lionel Richie, I'd go Lionel Richie. And I'd break character, and they'd be like, can you please say Lionel Richie again the way you're saying everything else? I'd like, but Lionel Richie's so cool.
Lionel Richie. Well, Wendy Colonna, thank you. Your new album Nectar, everyone get out there, get it. It's a really beautiful album, and thank congratulations to all of you that worked on it, and especially you and Addison.
Yeah. Thank you, Johnny.
Wendy Colonna. Fantastic album, Nectar. Get out there and buy it. You know, that's what I'm doing for Christmas. I said it before. I'm going to be buying music from local record stores. I'm going to buy the music from local record stores, and I'm going to give it to my family for Christmas. That's what I'm doing for Christmas. That's the gift. I suggest that you do the same thing. You know, I know there's great deals out there if you go to Target and buy someone Garth Brooks' Greatest Hits for $5.99. I know that is a value. I know. But you're giving to the man. You're just giving more into the man. Get out there, find some music that's unique, that maybe someone might not have heard. Get it for them at a local store. Support a local business. Support music. Buy music so that artists can keep on making music. Look at Wendy Colonna. She's making albums. All right. Hey, everyone, subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. I wish there was a local store you could subscribe from, but you can't. You can find us on Stitcher. You can also follow me on Twitter if you want. You can like our Facebook page. It's called How Did I Get Here? On Twitter, I am at Johnny Gowdy. Sorry, it's very confusing at the end. I'm getting confused. Let's just listen to some more Wendy Colonna and get the hell out of here. Let's get down.
When I die, bury me in my madness, swaddle me and my secrets in a blanket of truth. When I die, please forgive me my weakness, sing to me of the sweetness of the red autumn moon. But before I'm buried, by and while the love is still
not a single request to be pure in your eyes, and I never ask pride to be my guide across the sea of blood and tears so wide. Things my eyes cannot see.